What on earth are you doing here? You might be asking yourself that question. Why am I here? Why have I assembled with all these people? In fact, I really feel like I'd rather be doing something else. What on earth are you doing here? It's a good question. It's an age-old question, in fact, when you look at how philosophers have considered the subject of why am I here? What's my purpose in life? We've heard a great deal about purpose in the last several years, I think, particularly by the purpose-driven life theme and subject, and one of the best-selling books that that we've seen in the last several years. A lot about purpose in life. But what on earth are you doing here? That's the question I have for you this morning. It's a question that I want us to pursue in light of an array of scripture, and which is not my approach normally to look at a multiplicity of verses, but it will be this morning for us to look at a number of verses in various passages that I think will help us to understand what on earth we're doing in this place. What's God's design for our life? I think Jeremiah asked that question in Jeremiah 20 and verse 18. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? In other words, why was I born? Was it just to work? Was it just to eke out a living? Was it just to experience trouble and sorrow and to end my life in disgrace? I mean, why in the world am I here? Jeremiah asked the question. Philosophers have asked the question. It's an age-old question that has been pursued by many people through time. Arthur Ashley wrote this, "My life is a superb cast, but I can't figure out the plot." You think he knew why he was here on earth? Jack Hanley wrote, "I hope life isn't a joke because I don't get it." And Carl Jung wrote, "I don't know the meaning, the purpose of life, but it looks as if something were meant by it." And then I like this one. Joseph Taylor authored a book entitled, get this, entitled, "I Have No Answers to the Meaning of Life and I No Longer Want to Search for Any." That's the title of the book. Aren't you glad most books don't have a title that long? That's like the whole dissertation. That's the whole thing, right? This is a guy who was living life and came to the end of it and realized that, what is the purpose of my life? There are questions like this that we have to ask ourselves. Why am I here? Why has God created me? What is God's intention for my life? Why do I exist? All of these questions are important for us to discover who God is and in the process discover who we are. Because I don't think we can come to an understanding of who we are apart from an understanding of who God is and who God wants to be in our lives. You know, our culture reflects a very fatalistic attitude toward living life. In fact, when you talk to people, oftentimes people see the glass as half empty, right? And sometimes, unfortunately, you see this with Christians, but you see that certainly in the world. The world just looks at life, and they know life has prosecuted them. They know that life experiences have told them that they fall short, and they realize that. They may have not come to that conclusion in those exact words, but certainly they've come to believe that, you know, hey, it doesn't matter how hard I try, my marriage seems to just be falling apart. It doesn't matter how hard I try, my children seem to be going crazy. It doesn't matter how hard I try, I never seem to have enough at the end of the month when I've worked all month long. They just come to the end of self. And when they come to the end of self, they realize, they ask the question, why am I here? What am I doing? Is there anything more to this life than what's going on right now? How do I get off this merry-go-round? How do I get off the treadmill? I got on that thing, you know, 5 years ago when I began that new job. I thought it offered all the promises that a new career was going to offer for me and my family. And what I realize is that no matter how hard I try, I'm on that thing and I can't get off of it. And, you know, if you try to get off of a treadmill, the worst thing you can do is stop while it's going, right? And have y'all been to the YMCA and seen anybody do that before? I love that commercial. Forget exactly the theme, but that's what's going on. They're running and they stop. Boy, they hit the treadmill and roll right on. That's our life. That's what life does to you. When you just stop to try to consider the moment, you better get off the treadmill and get off the merry-go-round. That's hard to do, though, isn't it? Hard to do sometimes. You know that suicide is the number two killer of teenagers today in our culture? The number two killer of our teenagers. That is, even our teenagers are finding with everything. You say, well, how could that be? Here we live in a world, seems like we have everything. Seems like maybe our teenagers have everything too. And what's happened is that people have become bored and they just don't find any meaning, or sometimes life struggles and are so difficult. They feel like, you know, the only way to deal with this is just to end my life. That's the only way I know how to put myself out of my own misery. I can't deal with life. And so people are taking their lives. You see, without God in the equation, life just loses its meaning. Life apart from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ, is empty. In August and September, I plan on teaching and preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes. That's not really the subject today, but it's the same theme runs throughout this message, though. And that is, at the end of life, what is it that you have to show for it? What is my purpose in life? There was a program on, and I know I probably, you know, I don't sit around, I promise, I don't watch Oprah Winfrey. But there was a program on Oprah Winfrey, and she promised that by the end of that program, you would know your purpose in life. And at every little commercial break, she kept saying, come back, you know, the little appeal, the little hook to get you back into the program, so you can watch those commercials, by the way. Hey, we know that, don't we, marketing people? But anyway, she hooks you back in, gets you back into the program. You're going to know your purpose in life, your purpose in life. At the very end of the program, you know what she said? Remember, you've got to figure it out by yourself. Whoa, 1 hour and watching all those commercials. And she couldn't tell me anything. And she couldn't tell her audience anything, for that matter. What is it? Because you can't find purpose apart from the Lord. You can't find purpose in human reasoning and understanding. Why? Because human reasoning has its limitation. Human understanding has its limitation. It's unable to perform like it needs to perform. And at the end of the day, it just doesn't produce. And so you've got to have God's mind and your matter of living. Otherwise, you begin to find that, you know, this is getting dull. In fact, so many folks are living the bored life, just scratching their head and living from one sitcom to the next, looking for something to fill their time and their space and their head and their heart. And they're just filling themselves with everything under the sun. And they don't really know why they're here. And to you, I want to say to you today that there is hope. The question of existence is very important. There are three questions I want to deal with this morning. Why am I alive? The question of existence. Jeremiah posed that question. And if you were to follow out Jeremiah's life in chapter 19 and 20, you find this great prophet of God who, by the way, preached for 20 years and nobody listened. So, you know, hey, I can handle it for a week, but don't go on for two or three, okay? I'm not Jeremiah. But he preached for 20 years and nobody listened, and they didn't repent. They didn't hear the word of God. And so he came to his life in Jeremiah 19 and 20, just pouring out his heart. He's just saying, you know, he's really wishing that he was dead, really. I mean, just really down and depressed. Why did I even come into this world? What's my purpose? Of course, he comes to understand and realize that you have to stay faithful in the things of God. And what we find in this question of existence, why am I alive, is a very important question. God has a reason for you being here today. You just need to know that. You need to know that God has a reason. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4 says this: the Lord has made all things for himself. You want to know why you were created? Why you're alive? He has made all things for himself, the Bible says in the first part of that verse. That's very important. That means everything has a purpose. If you exist, are you alive? Are you taking a breath today? Say amen. Okay, you're here today. You have a purpose in your existence. God made you for a purpose. He created you, established you, gave you a beginning. He has a definite end in mind, and he has everything in between for you to live in. And he wants you to walk with him in that. God has a purpose. He has a reason for your living. Every bird, every rock, everything that we see, God has a purpose in that. He has a reason for its existence. There is a purpose in everything. And we, as God's created beings, certainly created in the image of God, we reflect that great sense of purpose that He had in us. The great purpose that He had in us, that He would give us life. And He would give us significance and purpose in our life because He is significant and because He is full of purpose. A few years ago, we went to Disney World. And we attended the Lion King production at Animal World. Any of y'all ever been there before? I mean, it's a marvelous production. It's just beautiful, you know. And the entire choreographed production. It was just a very moving production. I admire the beauty and everything, the music and the costumes and everything. But there was something that puzzled me about the whole theme, the circle of life. The idea is that we are all a part of this system. By implication, that's the song. We're all a part of the circle of life, but it had a very evolutionary tone to it. In other words, we are all a part of the food chain. Whoa! It's amazing how that's really what it's about. The circle of life. I eat you and you eat that and we all eat, you know, it's just in the whole scheme of things. It's like, this is life. If you really believe that, at the end of the day, you'll sense a great feeling of despair if you really believe that. Now, it is true that we are all interconnected. We live in a world that God created for us. We also live in a fallen world, a world that is groaning, Romans tells us, for the day of redemption, that all creation is groaning for the day of redemption. And yes, there is an interconnectedness to our lives, but we are not just simply people existing in a food chain. We have a purpose. Purpose that God created us. He created us that we might ultimately, you know, we've talked about this before, that we might ultimately worship Him. Ultimately, our chief aim, our chief goal in life is to worship and to glorify God. That's it. God created us so that we might magnify Him. God created us that we might glorify Him. Ultimately, He calls us to a life of purpose, and that purpose is fulfilled in the person whose attention is turned to the Lord. And so if you really want life purpose, you got to find it in the Lord. You can't find it anywhere else. And so the Lord has made everything for His own purpose in Proverbs 16:4. So God is a reason for our living. That's the question of existence. Why am I alive? Why am I breathing the breath that I'm breathing? Why did God allow me to sleep through the night and awaken this morning to be here this morning? What's this all about? We just celebrated Easter, didn't we? We came together and we looked at the cross and we looked at the tomb and realized Jesus is not on the cross and He isn't in the tomb. But at the cross, He paid the price for our sin. And at the tomb, Jesus Christ arose from the dead, paving for us a path. He pioneered for us. He blazoned a trail for us that every single person who believes in the crucified one who rose on the third day again, that Jesus, who believes in Him, would have eternal life. If you believe. That's a pretty good deal, don't you think? That's a great message. That's where our hope is. You don't believe that? You either don't have the hope and you're longing for hope. You don't know the Lord if you don't believe that. But if you believe it, there is hope. There is hope. So the question of our existence, why am I alive? God has a reason for us to be alive. God's motive for our existence. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 4. I'm reading from the King James Bible. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God has chosen us. That's an amazing and profound thought, that God would take me and choose me. You got to listen to this. You got to listen to this. God chose you. He created you. And He chose you before the foundation of the world. He said, not in time, but before time began. God already had us on His mind. That's an amazing thought. It's really amazing when you think about your own birth, which, by the way, didn't, you know, your life was not necessarily established at conception. Your life was established in the mind of God. You were conceived in His mind before you were ever conceived in the womb. God has a purpose in your life. Jeremiah said, before I was conceived, You knew me. Do you think that man had a sense of purpose? And it's a good thing that he did, because when he looked at all those people he preached to for all those years who wouldn't listen, he had to say, Lord God, I'm really struggling right here, you know? I think I'd rather be dead, but in light of the fact that you chose me, in light of the fact that you conceived of me before I was even in my mother's womb, I must concede my thoughts to you. And so that's where he derived his hope and his sense of encouragement. Apart from that, I'm telling you, this world, preachers included, will throw in the towel. You know why? Because it's tough. Life is tough, isn't it? Well, I didn't have to tell you that. You already know that. You've already been bruised and blackened. I mean, you've already been hurt and injured. You've already been, hit deeply and struck deeply in your heart in maybe a relationship with a child or with a spouse or somebody at work that you trusted, and boom, I mean, it just hurt you deeply, didn't it? Because you love deeply. You know that life's tough. I don't have to tell you that. I'm only just going to remind you of it. But Jeremiah knew how tough life is. But he said, you know something? God knew me before I was even in my mother's womb. Paul wrote in Ephesians, he chose me. I was already on his mind. Long before the foundation of the world, he had me in his mind. And I was the focus of his love. You see, what happened was, is that God made me. He made you the object of his love. That is significant. And answering the question of existence and why I'm alive is the fact that God chose me. Chose me. Don't go into the theological trap of that. Understand that what he's saying is that I have been chosen by God. If you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, God already had you on his mind before you were thinking of him. Your salvation is an act of the grace of God. Why are you alive? Because God chose you. God brought you to this place. You are the object of his love. But I want you to see something else. So I was created, and I was created that I might be, ultimately, that I might be loved by God, but that I myself might love God. But notice something else, this question of significance. This question of significance. The Bible says in Isaiah 49, in verse 4, then I said, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. Isaiah looked at life and he said, you know, it seems like it's all empty. It seems like it's useless. I look at my life and I ponder, and this is the great prophet Isaiah who's saying this, you know. I've spent my strength for nothing, and I wonder about the purpose of it all. You see, a great prophet who struggles with this whole issue of the meaning of life. What is the significance of my life? Does my life matter? You know, when these questions become very prominent in your life is when you're bored and the things you're doing don't have any real meaning. You think, what is this all about? Why am I doing this? One more soap opera. Let me talk to our senior adults. One more soap opera on the afternoon programs. It's not going to get you there either, okay? Cut out all that foolishness. I don't care what kind of soap operas you're watching. They're not going to get you where you need to be. Get your mind on heavenly things and higher things. Set your affection on things that are higher. Cut out all that foolishness. Cut out, young adults, all that foolishness in the evening time, watching one, going from one sitcom to the next, thinking that you're going to live your life vicariously through the lives of other people. And in the end, you know what you find? You know, life is tough enough. Why would you want to engage in somebody else's struggles that they made up on TV? You know? At the end of all that is an emptiness. And it leaves you longing for something more. And then you begin to wonder, does my life really matter? I wake up early in the morning, you know, put on a cup of coffee, you know, I don't drink coffee, but some of y'all do that. Wake up early and, you know, get the newspaper and you read that. Maybe catch a little of that foolish news that comes on about 6 in the morning, those silly people that talk sometimes. And that really adds meaning to life now, doesn't it? And so there you go and you get your shower in the morning, and maybe you have kids, you get them ready. And then, boy, here you go off to work and you spend all day at your job, 8 hours, sometimes 10. And if you're on a shutdown or something, it could be 7-12s, you know, Lord knows how long you're going to spend out there. And you're going to go through that cycle. The next day, guess what? You get to do it all over again and wake up the next morning and have a you know, cup of coffee and read the newspaper and watch those silly little people on the television tell you about the weather that they're not real sure about. But nonetheless, there's a few of them that are on track. But you watch all that stuff go on, right? All this little chit-chat between them. You get the kids off to school and you barely get to work on time, but you're there nonetheless. And you get your little 30-minute lunch break at work and you work all day long. You come home and you try to take care of your kids and you get into bed and you do all that. And the next day, guess what? You get to what? You get to do it all over again. Does my life matter? It does. It does. The simple things in life, the everyday things in life, work, family, those things, take on a whole new dimension when you know the Lord. But that's the key. If you don't know the Lord, all of a sudden those things don't mean anything. But when you know the Lord, sure, my life, it does matter. God created me for a purpose. But when your life, when you don't feel like your life matters, you'll do irrational things. You do foolish things. You do things that make you look like you're out of your mind. For instance, during World War II, prisoners in a Nazi concentration camp in Hungary who were processing human sewage in a factory, something happened. The Allies bombed the factory and it just, you know, it just blew it to pieces. And so what the Nazis did was they took the prisoners. Some of you may remember this. And they took the prisoners and they told them to take the rubble and to go and to stack it up in a pile. Now, that wasn't the problem. The problem is that once they stacked up all the rubble in a pile, they were told, go back to that pile and to take the rubble and just go stack it back over here in another pile. And they did that back and forth and back and forth until the prisoners began to lose their mind. It was driving them crazy. Some of them even throwing themselves in the front of the Nazis in order to be shot. They just began to do irrational things because all of a sudden their life just seemed to have was disjointed and have no meaning. What's the purpose of taking rubble and stacking it here and there and back and forth? What's the purpose of that? And they lost their sense of purpose in it. It'd be an easy thing to do, wouldn't it? The grind of life is so difficult sometimes. And they were forced to deal with so many irrational thoughts. What happens when you lose your sense of purpose and you wonder if life really matters? What happens is that you begin to do things that ordinarily you wouldn't do. Does life really matter? Sure it does. Now, there are three levels of living I want to mention. This is not unique to me, but I want to mention to you just very quickly. And maybe you can find yourself in these levels of living. First of all, there's the first level, the base level of living. It's called the survival level of living. It's the survival level of living. Can you do this with me? And that's where you're just barely getting by. You're just existing. It's tough. You're just eking out a living. It goes with that theme of TGIF. If I could just get to Friday. You live life not for Monday through Friday, but you live life for Friday. If I can just get to the weekend. You know how many people live their life like that? Thousands upon thousands in our community. If I can just get to Friday. And then you know what happens? They escape. Sometimes it's in pleasure. Sometimes it's in material things. It's in lake houses and camps and all kinds of things. I'm not saying those are altogether bad. I'm just saying they just want to escape. If I just get out of here, get away. Thank God it's Friday. TGIF. I mean, you know, an entire restaurant was built upon this, right? I remember going to the first TGIF there in Arlington, Texas. Thank God it's Friday. Well, then there's the next level. It's the success level. You might want to call it. We might call it that. It's where a lot of people are. In fact, where many of you people are today. And that is where, you know, it's comfortable. I mean, you have a little bit of a savings. You got working toward a retirement, raising your kids, and things are going well. You have a car. Maybe, you know, everybody in the home has a car. And I mean, you live in a nice home, and you maintain what you have. And, you know, you're doing well in life. There's no throwing any stones at you at this point. But the only problem is that there's still something missing. The Lord. The Lord has been taken out of the center. And when God is taken out of the center of anything, the evolutionists have it right. A big bang occurs. In a sense, they do, okay? And Jesus is taken out of the center because Colossians tells us that in Christ, all things do consist, are held together and sustained in Christ. Colossians 1:17. But when he's taken out of the center, those things begin to fragment. And things that you trusted in, and things that people you know are trusting in right now, it's leaving them high and dry, and they're empty because they don't have the Lord. But then there's this third level, the significance level. This is where you begin to discover who you are in Christ, and certainly who you are in God's plan, and that your life really does matter. You know the meaning of life. You know that God has created you, and He's created you to live to glorify Him. You know that. You know that's your purpose in living. And so you measure life based upon that statement that God has created you for the purpose of bringing glory to Himself. And so you measure life in those terms. You know how much you matter to God. You know that you are the object of God's love. You understand that. Life is more than successful. Life is significant. It's significant because you know there is a God above who dwells beneath the sun, who has come to live in your heart. You know that He's given depth and breadth to your life that only He can. And that's significance. Knowing God's purposes for your life. Isaiah 44 verse 2 says, I am your creator. You were... You were in my care even before you were born. And then in Psalm 139, verse 16, this is from the Living Bible or paraphrase, and I'm cautious to use it, but nonetheless I do at this point. You scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. God knows about you. He knows you. You have a purpose in this life. You matter. He sees and He knows everything about your living. He knows what you're going through. He knows your joys. He knows your pain. He knows all these things. And He knows this, that He has created you with a purpose to live not only in time, but He created you as a unique part of His creation to live beyond time, to live in eternity. Do you know that we are all going to live forever? Do you know that? Everybody gets to live forever somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. God chose you. As if you're a child of God, He has chosen you. You have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is something different about you. Listen, there is a question of significance that we all have to ask. Does my life matter? And I believe the Word of God tells us over and over and over again, yes, my life matters. But then there's a third question I want us to look at in closing this morning. There's the question of intention. What is my purpose? In Psalm 89, verse 47, the psalmist writes, remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? The psalmist asked the question before the Lord, why did you create us? Was it for nothing, or is there a purpose? The question of intention. What is my purpose? Why am I here? How can God use me? What difference can I make in the lives of other people? So many people are looking for purpose in life and they feel like it's somewhere within. The New Age mentality is that, you know, you can have purpose. You just have to find it within and you have to pull it out. Eastern mysticism says what you need to do is clear your mind in meditation. Christian meditation is different. Clear your mind. Empty it, but fill it with the Lord. Because if all you do is empty your head, well, we already know most of us have empty heads already. That's not a new revelation. But empty yourself and allow yourself to be filled with the Lord. Do you know, this is exactly what Jesus did when He went to the cross. He emptied Himself. That's what Philippians 2 is about. Jesus emptied self. He put self aside, what? To do one thing. To do the will of the Father. That's what He did. And to the degree that we empty self and fill our lives with the Lord is to the degree that we can know and live with a life of intention and a life of purpose that we understand what God desires for us. Atheist philosopher Bertrand Russell said, a great Englishman wrote this, unless you assume the existence of God, the question of life's meaning and purpose is irrelevant. Interesting statement on the part of an atheist. You must believe there is a God and that God For a believer in Jesus Christ has chosen you. Has chosen you. If there's no God, then there's no meaning. You're just a freak of nature. All you are is a bunch of complex pond scum, and life doesn't matter. All you are is a part of the circle of life. You're just a part of the food chain. All you are is a pawn in the hand of corporate America. Huh? If you don't believe in God, there are serious implications. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden life takes on a whole different meaning. I mean, it really does. If you function according to the purpose that God has created you for, God has created you for this. And He has done something marvelous in you. What you have to do is acknowledge that and realize, yes, hey, listen, I have fallen short of the glory of God. And I have distorted the very purpose that God created me for. I know that. You confess that to the Lord. God's created us for a purpose. I brought a few little props here to show us and to illustrate this. You know what this is? For a little kid, it's like a little pop gun or something, right? Could be. But that's not its purpose. Right? Where's Jack Allen at? Jack? Every time I use Jack in an illustration, he's not here. What's the problem here? Somebody needs to tell Jack to show up. If he's here, I give him $5. Jack, there you are. There you are, Jack. Jack Allen made this. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Jack Allen. This man is a fine craftsman. Not only did he make this pulpit and this Lord's Supper table, it's the most unique pulpit in all the country. Not another one like it. And it serves its purpose to hold the Word of God. And that's the design of it. But if Jack saw me with this, now this is a coat rack. You see, you just take your coat off and you hang it up. I have this in my office. Do you know that Jack took the flooring out of the old red brick building over here, took some of the flooring, and he made this coat rack? That's amazing. The guy is a tremendous craftsman. Now, I know this about Jack. Because he admires his work and he knows that he created this for this purpose. If he were to come into my office and I was using this to prop up some type of beam, he probably would be a little upset with me. Because this is not a 2x4. This is not designed to withstand the pressure of a home. This is not a framing piece of wood here, right? This is a coat rack. And that's what it does. And when it does what it does, it serves its what? Its purpose. Now, another illustration. Yes, Jack, he's the craftsman. I get to take advantage of him today. You know what this is? In other words, it's not your house, is it? If you tried to live here, well, it couldn't accomplish that. See, some of us are trying to get something out of life that it was never intended to give for us. So this is not a design for you. We have another house. Not made with hands, the Bible says. We are pilgrims passing through this life. And so if we try to derive purpose out of something that was never designed to give us purpose in life, we're going to be left wanting. This is designed to help birds, not people. And so you understand, although it is a beautiful piece of craftsmanship. Every single piece of this shingles, by the way, every shingle is handmade. Everyone designed this thing for birds, not for us. And as long as birds are in it, it serves its purpose. When we try to get in it, it doesn't meet that purpose. Listen, God created us for a purpose. You know something else? I have in my pocket, I have, you know what this is? What's that? It's $20. This is not a Benjamin, okay? This is $20. It has purpose. If you try to use it for something other than its purpose, it leaves you, it just can't accomplish that. It leaves you short. I mean, if you love it, then it certainly is going to leave you short because it was never designed to bring fulfillment in your life. And yet you can use it, and God can use it in your life for the right purpose, and it can bring meaning. It can be a good thing. But if it's not used for the right purpose, it can be very destructive. In fact, Paul told Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of it. Everything has its purpose. You have a purpose in your life. If you choose to abide in that purpose, you say, well, I just don't know what it is. I'm still not sure about this whole thing about my purpose. I don't really understand it. You can't know it apart from the Lord. if you try to live your life with a sense of purpose, and you can't. He said, well, I don't know that I agree with you. Okay. Let's have an honest disagreement. But tomorrow and the rest of the week and next month, by the end of this year, I challenge you to test it. Because I promise you this, that life will extract from you every single thing that it can. It will leave, it will deprive, it will abandon you at the end of the day. It will do it. Life is tough. And the only way to find the real purpose in living is to come to know the Lord. Doesn't mean it's not going to be easy. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. The only way you find it is with the Lord. So why don't we bow our heads and go to the Lord? If He's the only person who really can do this, the Bible says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Because of that, we're not functioning just as we were created to function. The only way for that to be changed is for Jesus to give His life. He did so. He has done everything necessary for your salvation. Everything necessary. At this point, I'm asking you to call upon the Lord as God's messenger today. He said, well, I don't know. I've never heard the Lord speak. Well, He has spoken today through His Word, Scripture we've read, through the Holy Spirit of God. He's tugging at your heartstrings, and He wants you to come to faith in Him, to believe. Will you do that? He chose you before the foundation of the world. He has a purpose for you, but you've got to step into what God has designed, what He desires for you. He really wants that, but He's not going to. Listen, He's compelling, but He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to twist your arm. The fact that God would awaken you to your sense of need for Him is, it's a gracious act by on the part of a loving God who's saying, here I am, here I am. Come to Me. So call upon the name of the Lord like this. Dear Jesus, I confess my sin to You. I recognize that I don't know my purpose because I've been living in a way that with my back turned to You and just doing my own thing. And while in some ways it seems to be fulfilling, Lord, I'm recognizing even now that it's left me. At the end of the day, it leaves me still wanting for more. And Lord, I realize today that You are the more that I need. You are the one that I need. I confess You as my Savior and Lord. I call upon You as the one who gave His life for my sin, who rose on the third day that I might have hope eternal and life eternal. And so I confess You as my Savior. I invite You into my life. I call upon Your name. Oh God, save me. Lord, save me right now. I want to be saved. Lord, do Your work in me and change my heart, change my life, change my eternity in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I come before You now. And for those, Lord, who may have prayed a prayer, something like that their heart was broken and their recognition for You is there and that they confessed that they needed You, Lord, that not only would salvation come to them, but a great sense of confidence now that Lord, a new life has begun in them. By Your Holy Spirit this morning, that You would confirm the very thing that You desire to do and that they would be drawn to You this morning. Every one of us, oh God, following Your heart's desire for our lives today. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.